Next year, Canada will be 150 years old. Confederation was the process whereby the British colonies of Canada, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick formed one Dominion of Canada on July 1st, 1867. So if you do the math, we celebrate our 150th birthday as a nation next year. And actually, since August 4th of this year, the government of Canada has been counting down the last 150 days of 2016, culminating on New Year's Eve for a great Canada 150 kickoff celebration in cities all across the country, including right here in Regina. Apparently, there are going to be all kinds of family-friendly activities at the Connexus Arts Center and at the Saskatchewan Science Center and outdoors in Wascana Park, including skating and curling and sleigh rides and snow decorating. And it will all culminate in a massive fireworks display, not at midnight, as you might expect, bringing in the new year, but at 2017. That's military or medical time. 2017 is 8:17 p.m. So put that away in your noggin and wait for 2017 on December 31st, 2016, and look out your window or go to Wascana Park for some fabulous fireworks. Well, not only will Canada be 150 years old next year, the Christian and Missionary Alliance will be 130 years old next year. The Christian and Missionary Alliance is the denomination that we are a part of. Back in August of 1887, at some camp meetings at Old Orchard Beach in Maine in the United States, an interdenominational conference was held with a bunch of Christians from lots of different denominations. And their common rallying point was a deep concern for missions. At the end of those series of meetings, two separate yet similar organizations were formed, the Christian Alliance and the Evangelical Missionary Alliance. And within a decade, those two groups merged together into what we know today as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And our full name really sums up what we're all about. We are an alliance of Christians with a missionary emphasis. Now, and this is important, the Christian and Missionary Alliance was not, nor did it intend to become a new denomination, at least not in the beginning. Instead, the Christian and Missionary Alliance was more like a parachurch organization to bring some sort of structure to the growing missionary movement. Over time, however, we reluctantly began to acknowledge that with our growing network of local churches throughout North America, with the emergence of our Bible schools, with all of the organizational structures that began to come into being, we finally admitted that this missionary movement was indeed becoming a missionary denomination, which is fine, provided we work hard at remaining missionary-minded. That is one of the unique distinctives of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We are a missionary denomination. And my hope and my prayer is that we remain missionary-minded in our outset. As you entered the sanctuary this morning, you were given a booklet along with the weekly bulletin. If you haven't found your bulletin yet, it's hiding somewhere inside. But we wanted to hand these booklets out. Who we are, our C and MA family, Christian and Missionary Alliance family. You'll see the Alliance logo that pictures for us what has been referred to as the fourfold gospel. At the heart of this fourfold gospel is Jesus. The Bible teaches that, among other things, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is our healer. And Jesus is our coming King. A.B. Simpson, founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, said this, and I quote, "The mission of the Alliance has ever been extremely simple. It is to make the Lord Jesus Christ real and encourage His people to receive Him in all His fullness and give Him speedily to the lost world." When you open up this booklet, you see on page 3 our vision prayer that was recently revised at General Assembly in Calgary earlier this year. Our vision prayer says, "O God, with all our hearts we long for You. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere." Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission focused. And God has chosen to bless us. On page 4, you see a snapshot and breakdown of the growth over the last 3 decades. In 1981, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada became autonomous. We used to be part of the Christian Missionary Alliance in North America, but in 1981, we became autonomous here in Canada. And you see, back in 1985, there were 241 Alliance churches in Canada. Today, there are 455. Pastors and other licensed workers has increased from 456 to 1,655. Inclusive membership simply means anyone who is part of an Alliance church. That number was just over 138,000 as of last year. Voting members who have been baptized as believers totals 51,879. I guess after welcoming Carolyn this morning, we can change that to 51,880. And on average, almost 89,000 people can be found worshiping in an Alliance church in Canada on any given Sunday. And among those almost 89,000 people, there are more than 15 different languages used in worship services across our country. In addition to English and French, we have Mandarin, Cantonese, Vietnamese, Spanish, Farsi, etc., etc. On page 5, you see that our country is divided with the Christian Missionary Alliance into 6 geographic districts or regions. There's the Canadian Pacific on the west coast for British Columbia and the Yukon. The Western Canadian includes Alberta and the Northwest Territories, and that is our largest district in terms of numbers of churches and numbers of attenders. The Canadian Midwest District includes Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Northwest Ontario, and Nunavut. The Central Canadian District is Western and Northern Ontario. The Eastern Canadian District is Eastern Ontario and the Atlantic Provinces. And the St. Lawrence District includes Quebec. Each church belongs to a district, which is led by a district superintendent. As you can see on the map, our district, the Canadian Midwest District, is the largest district geographically. Even if you do not count the northern territories, even if you only count the 10 provinces, our district is still the largest district geographically, and so that means that our superintendent and his staff have a lot of area to cover and do an awful lot of traveling. There are currently 75 Alliance churches in our district. But as I said earlier, even though we are now considered to be a missionary denomination, we really started out as a missionary movement. To quote from A.B. Simpson once again, "This movement stands for a commitment to reach the most neglected fields, to avoid the beaten tracks of other laborers, to press on to the regions beyond, and instead of building upon another man's foundation, to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named." And the purpose statement of our global ministries department reflects that passion. The purpose statement says we glorify God by developing indigenous movements of reproducing churches among least reached people groups. As a missionary denomination, we have made a conscious decision to allocate a large percentage of our resources to least reached people groups, as you can see in this next slide. Of our 220 missionaries sent out from Canada, which we now refer to as international workers, of those 220, 101, or almost half of them, have been sent to creative access countries. A creative access country is one where traditional missionary work is not permitted. And so our international workers, our missionaries, have to be creative in gaining access to the country, and they have to be creative in how they minister and present the gospel in those countries. And we need to keep praying for our missionaries regularly. Our 220 missionaries, these workers from Canada, serve in 37 countries around the world in what has been called the 4S regions: Caribbean Sun, Desert Sand, Silk Road, and Asian Spice. And it's also important for us to know that the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada is part of a larger global alliance family, with more than 6 million members and adherents in almost 18,800 churches in more than 80 nations on the planet. Well, that was a quick overview of our missionary denomination. Let's go back to our alliance logo that pictures for us again the fourfold gospel. As I said at the outset, at the heart of the gospel, of course, is Jesus. And the Bible teaches that, among other things, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our coming King. And this morning, I'd like to talk for a little bit about Jesus being our Savior. Lord willing, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, we'll talk about Jesus being our sanctifier, Jesus being our healer, Jesus being our coming King. But Jesus is our Savior. The Bible is full of passages that teach about Jesus being the Savior that our world desperately needs. For example, as I read at the outset in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about waiting for the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." I mentioned earlier that Albert Benjamin Simpson is considered to be the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Albert, who, by the way, was a Canadian, had good Christian parents, but he had great difficulty in understanding and in accepting God's forgiveness for himself. But then one day at the age of 15, while he was reading a small book in a pastor's library, he read these words: "The first good work you will ever perform is when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The first good work you will ever perform is when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Simpson said he immediately fell to his knees and chose to believe that Jesus could forgive him. And for the first time, peace came to his very troubled heart. I also was 15 when I chose to trust Christ as my Savior. I was attending Tom Collegiate up in the north end of the city, and one word would describe me and God. That word was indifferent. I was just indifferent towards the things of God. God really wasn't on my radar. He wasn't in my thoughts. I was indifferent. But then as the gospel was shared with me about how God loved me and wanted to forgive me and prepare a place in heaven for me, the more this was shared with me, the more it began to make sense. And there came a moment in time when I said, yes, I believe. Please forgive my sins. Come into my life. And I want to trust you as my Savior, and I determine with your help to follow you as Lord. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ was sent to be the Savior of the world, to rescue us from the fires of hell, and instead to take us to be with him in paradise in heaven. But the Bible also tells us very clearly that we must make a decision. That each one of us must make a personal decision to ask Jesus to be our Savior. No sitting on the fence will do. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." Those are very strong words. I'm afraid that there are far too many people today who think that, well, I'm not really against Jesus. I'm just kind of in that neutral zone. I haven't made up my mind just yet. But I'm certainly not against Jesus. I'm not opposed to Jesus. I'm not opposed to God and the things of God. Jesus would say otherwise. He who is not with me is against me. And my friends, make no mistake about it. Placing our faith and our trust in Jesus is the only way to be in right relationship with God. In John 14, as Pastor John prayed, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter declared, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And so the obvious question I have to ask this morning is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Savior? And if not, why not? I mean, seriously, what are you waiting for? Jesus made it abundantly clear, if you're not with him, you are against him. So why not cross that line of faith and choose to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? Billy Graham, in this little red pamphlet, which we usually have on the welcome booth in the main entryway, a wonderful little pamphlet. It's called My Decision. And in this, Billy Graham gives a suggested prayer. Why not pray this prayer along with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from running my own life, and now I ask you to run it. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.